Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. This is a rare Saturday edition, so welcome back. If you're listening live, it's Saturday, February 16th, and our show is currently looking for more feedback and more response from you, so let us know how we're doing here. My name is John Krecha. I'm the Vice President of Operations for Autism Empowerment and the Program Director for the Autism and Scouting Program. Autism and Scouting Radio, which you're currently listening to, is part of the Autism and Scouting Program, and this program is a core one of Autism Empowerment. To get more information, both about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program after the broadcast, you can visit us at www.autismempowerment.org, and you can join us on Facebook and Twitter. In about a month and a half, you should be able to see us at www.autismandscoutingradio.org. So you'll be able to visit my voice is very off today. Sorry about that. As we're going over my notes today before the show, I see that this was our 42nd show since we launched a radio show back in July of 2011. We've also now reached over 19,500 listens to our program, so we're really starting to make a difference in changing lives. So thank you, everyone out there who's listening and supporting the radio station. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive via podcast, you can get more information from the website as well. You can also go to iTunes and download the information and the podcasts from iTunes as well. I'd like to thank my last guest, Linda Horwith, who's a scouting supermom and scouting advocate. She has 7 kids, all in scouting, and she's actually going to be back on air on Wednesday with her twin sons, and they'll be on February 20th, so we're looking to have some double fun there. Many times in scouting, getting a scout to an event or a meeting or getting them started in an event, for me personally, has been a challenge with my oldest son. Motivating him sometimes to go to a meeting is sometimes difficult, but once he gets to the meeting, he has a lot of fun. He enjoys the game. He enjoys the skills instruction. And then on our way home, we're like, oh, I ask him how the meeting went, and he goes, oh, I had a great time and can't wait for next week. And then the next week rolls around, and sometimes he needs a little extra motivation to go, and it repeats itself. Each time a scout successfully goes and comes back and has a successful outing, or even a not successful outing, but they go and experience the scouting atmosphere, it's a success. And many times, like my son, they come back and have a great experience. And a lot of times it's very inspirational, and all these victories are inspirational. Today we're going to celebrate one scout in one of his really big victories. Today we are joined by Stanley and Judy Jesowitz and their son Peter. Stanley had published one of the victories in an article, and I'd seen it, and we reposted it on our blog. So if you go to Autism's blogspot, let me get you the exact thing. It's www.autismandscouting.blogspot.com. You can see that current article as well. And we're going to go ahead and get them on air, and let's hear about the story. Welcome, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
So, first of all, we'll start with Stanley. You wrote the article that you sent to us, and then we reposted. Can you tell the listeners the story again, kind of as a recap, and just put in whatever details you'd like?
Surely. It was a lot of fun to write, and I didn't have to do a whole lot of work because it was really Peter's accomplishment that told the story itself. This was summer of 2010, Peter's second summer Boy Scout summer camp at Reska Falls in Cradle of Liberty Council. There's a little bit of a backstory. Peter is a very good swimmer, had actually earned the swimming merit badge his first time out the previous summer, but we were at Reska the first week of summer. It was the week before 4th of July. He hadn't been in the pool yet, and he didn't pass the swimming test. And he was quite upset. He had planned to work on life-saving, and that was obviously not in the cards. But on the other hand, he was having a really rough time in the water. I could see that having been off all winter had affected him. And now we make it a point. He makes it a point to get in the pool at the Y and practice before the swim test each year. So, I was there with him. The first couple of years I went to camp with him and had signed up with the troop as a leader, not because I'm good at Boy Scouting. I grew up in the city. If it's green, I'm allergic to it. But rather, just to be there to help him with anxieties, but in a way that's typical, so the other kids don't say, oh, Peter needs his dad to come with him. So after he didn't pass the swim test, the Boy Scout swim test, I sat and talked with him and calmed him down. He used a lot of the techniques that we had learned in working with him, and then made a strategy for what to do next and talked about what other badge he could work on. And it worked. That was actually the other badge, Nature, was actually the first one he finished. I also convinced him to go to the instructional swim in the afternoon, and he passed the test the next day. Just needed to get his feet back in the water. So he had a great week. He passed what he needed to do for second class for rank advancement. At that point, had a cook his own lunch. He completed, as I said, nature, photography, and computer merit badges. But the one thing he wouldn't do, the highlight for the boys, there's a place at Reska called Fossil Rock Swimming Hole in the Bushkill Creek, where basically you jump off a rock. And Peter said, you know what? It has a muddy bottom. I like the pool, and so he did. So the first day they went, he didn't go. But I feel, Peter, was it Thursday or Friday that they went again?
It was Thursday.
Thursday afternoon. I said, Peter, you know what? Even if you don't not going to go in the water, let's just go for a hike. In Cub Scouts, we had a hiking club, and Peter and I used to go, and Judy used to go hiking quite a bit, both in Scouts and even before Scouts. So I said, you know what? It's a nice, probably about a mile and a half hike to the swimming hole. And we'll just go see, and we'll see what's there. And so on the advice or the suggestion of one of the other leaders, we went right after instructional swim. So he had in his bag his bathing suit and goggles. Not his. So we're walking through the woods. And you have to think about what it's like to walk through woods. It was very thick canopy, couldn't really see much of anything, and we were going downhill towards the Bushkill Creek. And so we're walking and walking, and then you can start to hear, if you think about what boys sound like in summer, we could hear them for about 4 or 5 minutes before we could see them. And if you think, by the end of a week at scout camp, the boys were having a good, loud time. So finally we get to Fossil Rock, sort of come into a burst of light. Once we, got out of the woods and down to where the river is, and he saw the boys jumping and playing, and so he, and then that's where the title came from. He turned to me and said, Dad, I'm going in. That's what he did. He, you know, and Peter kind of perseverates on time, so he always wears a watch. He was so excited he forgot to take his watch off. And it got weirlocked. That's how I ended the story. I said, you know, we were able to get another $5 watch at you know, the National Department Store. You know, that was easily replaced, but I like to say that the water destroyed the wash, but it washed for a few minutes at least. It washed the autism out of Peter. He was a boy with the other boys.
Right.
And you know, since then, just you know, to sort of close the loop, last summer he did get life saving.
Oh, very nice.
Peter, you have what, six or how many other eagle requires do you have?
I'm not sure. I think I'm counting, but I'm pretty sure I have like about all the ones we need for swimming, first aid.
I think you're up to nine.
Nine.
And pretty close to ten.
Yeah.
And he's going back to rescue this summer. The troop's going back to rescue again.
Yes. I'm planning to do a merit badge that is supposed to become an eagle next year, cooking.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And last summer, yeah. I got the badge I could have gotten in 2010, but I couldn't.
It's life-saving.
Yeah, it's life-saving.
So, that's the story. It was published in an autism publication, but you know, quite a few people who've seen it said it's not just a great autism story, it's a great scouting story. And they said it was Peter's story.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we really love to do here on the radio show is really celebrate the big successes. You know, because in life there's both in scouting and in, you know, obviously within the autism community. So, Peter, how close was the story to your dad's, to how your dad told it?
It was great. Yeah, try and have fun there, guys, because I was literally one of them, and I had to get used to having fun with them as opposed to having fun with my other friends who are with me in Troop 152. Some actually went to other troops.
Peter, what Peter's talking about, when he crossed over from as a Weeblo, we switched troops to one that was a little bit friendlier.
Yeah.
Sorry, right. Interrupted, Peter.
It's really one that I just really want to choose, yeah. It's not the one that's the troop equivalent of your pack. It's the one you want to choose. So, yeah, it's up to you before crossover. Because if you're in crossover, then you will have to probably join the troop. And I didn't want to do it at first because I ran in the pool already. And I saw the guys, and I had the courage, so I said, yeah, I'm going in. Yeah. And I had so much fun, I did not know my water was on, and it broke. And that apparently started a series of events that involved my watch breaking and breaking constantly throughout the past few years. But thankfully it's worth it. But, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I have a question for you. You'd mentioned, your dad mentioned that you don't like the feel of the mud on the ground. How did that feel when you actually, after you went in, did you feel, I mean, that, or was that like a non-issue after that point?
It was really an issue. It was like nothing. I didn't feel really much mud, but yeah.
Did you have your water shoes on?
I forget. I guess I was actually focused on having so much fun. Yeah, I forgot. But yeah. Speaking of watches, well, that was actually kind of late, but whatever. I just want to tell you right now that my dad's watch broke, and I was had fine with it without it.
I didn't want Peter to be obsessing about not knowing what time it was, so I gave him my watch after his broke, and
oh,
my
right
watch broke.
Peter, do you like keeping making sure that you know what time it is and you're on track?
Yeah, it's a good thing for middle school.
Very absolutely. That's one skill I wish my oldest had as well. I'm trying to keep on track. He loses track of time so very easily. Can you describe a little bit more about what compelled you or what made you kind of decide at that point, hey, I'm going to just go and jump in the water with the rest of the guys?
Well, they're actually encouraging me. I saw the guys in the water. I want to have fun there. because, yeah, I saw them. Like, why should we stay in there when they're jumping the river? And, yeah.
And you didn't actually jump in, did you?
I didn't really jump in. I just got to the water, and, yeah. I noticed that, like, the river is a little bit different. I've never been, like, anything in a pool before. Well, not really a lake before. I've been only in a pool and at the beach. And that's all I've done.
It's at the Atlantic Ocean, Jersey Shore. So Peter, what, you just waded in, correct?
Yeah, I just walked in, yeah. I got my power body, but that's probably where my watch got put.
Peter, you can
jump. But the important thing was that you're part of the whole group and you're part of the whole activity, right?
Yeah. But so, I just went there. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. So, Judy, I know you're very active in Scouts, right, from what I understand?
Yeah.
So how did you react to the story when you heard it?
I was very surprised and happy about what Peter did and glad that he was able to join in all the fun, the other guys.
One thing Peter's always says, he wants to be one of the guys.
One of the guys. I mean, that must really have made you, as a mom, a couple different levels, both in scouting, being a mom, kind of get that warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how long have you been in Scouts?
Since second grade. I'm now in ninth grade, and that means I'm in high school. Ironically, I'm still going to the middle school. That's kind of interesting, huh?
That's pretty bizarre. Did you say you started in Cub Scouts?
Yeah, I started in Cub Scouts as a Wolf Scout, and then I went up to a Light Scout right today. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on getting to life. I know that's a big accomplishment and a lot of hard work. Do you remember much about your Cub Scouting days?
Yeah, I remember them, those days, yeah. Especially that one hiking trip. Yeah, that was so fun. Yeah, basically we were going hiking, had fun hiking club, and there was one hike that we did, and we saw this, like, house, and it had this sign that says, you arrive as boys on one side of the caliper, and the other side had, we fly free as men, and these older guys are saying, we fly free as women. I was like, what the heck? That makes sense.
It's a school that's next to the Perkiomen Trail, which is a nice hiking trail near our house, whose motto is, as exactly as Peter stated, and that's, you know, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, and he remembers it to this day.
Very cool. As far as the hiking trip, were there any other good memories from Cub Scouts that you remember?
Of course, the Piwan Derby. Yeah. And having fun doing stuff.
What did you tell Sir Piwan Derby, Peter?
Well, Piwan Derby, I never actually won Piwan Derby. Sometimes I made it to the finals. Other times I did not make it to the finals. But it really depends. And that was for our son project. And with my uncle sometimes, I went to 2 Piwan Derbies every year, 1 Scouts. And there was for the Adventure Guys. I'm no longer a part of them because I graduated from them. And, yeah. And I just can't believe it. I won 1 year for the Bear Den. I made a few friends. Yeah, and that happens every year, and we also have lunch there. Just so sad to believe that Pizza Beyond, the place we have lunch some of the time, is now closed.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you like pizza?
Pizza, yeah.
So were there any challenges that you remember from Cub Scouting?
Yeah, challenges. At first, I was not really wanting to go camping. I'd never gone before. I tried to get involved in more extracurricular activities, and I wanted to just try it out. And
well, Peter, how did you deal with Cub Scout camp?
Well, at first I stayed with, like, a few days, and I got used to it and had fun. I got an Aquanaut during summer camp, my first summer camp. Yeah, I got that pin.
It's a Weevil's.
It's a Weevil's pin.
Did you stay for the whole week?
I didn't stay for the whole week. I just stayed. So it's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Just stayed for those 2 days. And on Saturday, I saw Donnie, one of the friends I would be with during Boy Scouts right now. Yeah.
He's one of our neighbors who's in the troop that Peter eventually joined.
Okay.
What Peter was saying, that rather than stay the whole week, he went slowly. He just stayed a couple nights to try it.
Yeah.
And did you tent with another boy or did you tent with somebody else?
I tent with a parent at first, and then I got used to it, and then during the tent trip, I got used to staying with a friend of mine, and so I stayed by myself. I stay with a friend. I usually stay by myself or in a tent just to have some privacy when I'm changing.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't want to show my private spots. I just want to have some privacy.
My son was very private as well, so that I could completely understand. How did you like the transition from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts?
It was kind of interesting. I thought this was going to be kind of hard, but there were harder challenges, more important things, easy to do, first aid book. I learned skills when I grew up. Yeah.
Tell us about switching troops, Peter.
When I switched troops, I decided to change things. Basically, my den was actually... My Weevil's den. You actually split up to four different troops. Some of them would go on. One went to Troop 60, the one at the Trinity Church, which is where the OA meets. I'll get that later. One went to 399, and I'm pretty sure that's the troop area of the pack that one of the scouts is in my troop now just transferred from, I believe. I should be so. Me and another friend who has Asperger's syndrome went with me to Troop 303, but he then quit after a year. But I still know him. He's a good friend of mine. He was the one I stayed with in the tent during his Hanover trip.
He actually, the other boy from his class at school set a record for getting a merit badge, the quickest merit badge. He won his first merit badge before he had attended his first meeting.
Oh, very nice.
Wow. That was interesting. And... Yeah, and the rest of the guys went to Troop 152, and one of my other friends is who's also in the same class is doing scouting, and yeah, I saw him in Klondike this year.
So you went into the one troop, and then there were some. What caused you to move troops?
I decided to do that because it was actually for my church, and yeah, it was Corpus. I'm gonna go to Troop 203 because. Yeah, when I first saw it was, like, interesting. I decided to join that troop.
Yeah, when we went, you know, you have to go as a Weeblo, too. You go and visit. You're supposed to go and visit several troops.
Yes.
So Peter visited the troop that was associated with his pack. And they're an excellent troop, a lot of good people, and a lot of good leaders. So I don't want this to sound like there's anything, you know, a criticism with them. But for whatever reason, Peter just didn't have a good time that first night. Then we went to the We went to the troop where our church is, and they had some essentially free time, play time,
yeah.
And Peter just fell right in with that and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I had gone up to the scoutmaster before that meeting and introduced myself and said, "I have to tell you about my son," and he looked at me and said, "Oh, you don't have to tell me. Let me introduce you to my son."
Uh-huh.
And as it turns out, his son, who wasn't in scouting, had Downs. So he sort of knew about special needs. And while the troop wasn't overtly a special needs troop, whether it's because of that the influence of the scoutmaster, because it was a church-affiliated troop, but they were both the leaders and the boys were much... more receptive and welcoming than we perceived the other troop.
That's outstanding. I mean, that's what we're striving for, to really promote inclusion within a standard troop for all scouts, because it's so important on so many different levels to have inclusion and not having that separation. And we really want to promote a full scouting experience for all scouts. I don't know if that makes sense for you.
One of our relatives who's come to several of the Courts of Honor says that she can really see the difference. At the beginning, Peter would be there, but he wasn't with. And now he's one of the guys. I keep coming back to that phrase. He's one of the guys.
Right.
And you know, unless you knew, you wouldn't know, if you know what I mean.
I want to get back to, kind of circle back, because there was actually, I wrote down a couple of notes as we were going through your story. There's two things. First of all, what were some of the you'd mentioned that there were some techniques that you worked through with, you know, the two of you together. What were some of those techniques that helped you get through that situation?
I guess first, as I said, I've done this not just in scouting. You know, where if Peter's involved in something, I'll join as a leader. Partially because it makes it, you know, typical for me to be there, to see how he's doing and help him out. Secondly, it lets me know what's going on so I can help prepare him. Whether it would be scouting or adventure guides, I would always talk with Peter before the meetings and say, what are you going to talk about tonight? What are you not going to talk about tonight? So that worked. We would talk to the leaders in advance. You know, Peter, I think, knows this now, but I don't know if he knew it at the time. I would let him talk for himself about planning things, but I would typically talk to the leaders in advance and let them know what Peter was going to ask, so that if he had any challenges in expressing himself, they would know what he was trying to say. That came up at Trexler. Peter was working on the camping merit badge, and he had to go over with our scoutmaster what he had done in regular camping trips. And so I talked to the scoutmaster and said, here's what Peter's going to ask you. And sure enough, as I expected, he had hit on most of the requirements for the badge from prior camping trips, but just needed to ask that himself. You know, from my perspective, I think I'm using scouting to prepare him for the fact that Gigi and I are going to die. Not anytime soon. Yeah, not anytime soon, we hope. But I want Peter to learn how to be self-sufficient and how to self-advocate. And so, you know, starting from that, you know, that, so the first technique was the first Boy Scout summer camp. You know, not the tenderfoot trip, but the summer camp after that, he went Sunday and Monday night.
Yeah.
We came home to go back to ESY for Tuesday and for Wednesday and Thursday. And then we went back. Fortunately, the camp was close to drive, so we then went back for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And in the afternoons, he talked to the instructors and was able to pick up the things that he was missing on the days when he was back in school. I remember there was, you know, some kids by Tuesday of their first camp week, they're homesick, and our scoutmaster said most kids are homesick for their parents. I said, yeah, but Peter's homesick for school. and it's true. It's not a joke. He knew he was missing ESY, and that really pained him. He's also making gestures with his thumbs. He also missed his video games.
His Minecraft.
we gradually eased into things. We didn't go with the full week at first.
Very good. I have a real. And the second question I wanted to come back to from that story is to you, Peter. How did they do a computer merit badge at camp?
They had computer merit badge. They had the computer thing at the media center, the computers, and basically I did the stuff that they wanted to do during camp beforehand just to get out of the way. And
the three requirements.
I did the requirements just to make it sort of like, I guess I'm saying, I made a dice block with the actual numbers with using SketchUp. It was kind of simple, but...
SketchUp is a online program that you can get through Google.
Okay. I haven't heard of camps offering computer science or computer merit badge before. So, you'd mentioned that in January 1st, cooking is going to be a requirement for Eagle. Are you pretty good pretty good cook?
Not yet, but I need to practice.
My oldest is also a Life Scout, and he's feverishly trying to finish his Eagle before December 31st, so he does not have to take the cooking merit badge. So.
I'll probably help him with getting started with cooking merit badge.
I'm sorry, what? Go ahead.
What was that?
What did you say, Judy?
Judy said that she'll probably be helping him with cooking merit badge more than I will.
that's, again, one of the things that my son is like, I think that's his motivation right now, so he doesn't have to do that parent badge. but anyways, Peter, what do you see as the best part of Boy Scouts, and what are your favorite memories so far?
Having fun, the summer camp, because, yeah, it's fun. Of course, the bike rides, yeah, we do them a lot. Yeah, I like riding my bike.
Well, Peter, explain how you rode the bike in Boy Scouts.
The bike rides, I like to ride so fast, but yeah, I also try to make sure to do a lot of stuff. And usually when I see a water fountain, I like to try to refill my water bottle there instead of not doing it.
Well, Peter, what badge did you wind up getting?
I got cycling, but it was required, but I already got swimming, so it didn't count.
Right.
Because I already got swimming.
What was the last thing you did to get cycling merit badge?
The last thing I did, Larry, was just do the 50-mile bike ride. 50 miles.
That's good, because you also get your 50-miler patch, too.
Yeah, I went all the way from Oaks to the Art Museum
and back. I did most of the rides with him leading up to that, but not that one.
Just the part that has not gone yet up to that point. Ironically, I've been all 5 rides that year.
Our troop has 1 leader, the scouts in college now, who are very, very good distance bikers. And so they took the boys on quite a few long rides to build up to the 50-miler.
Well, that's good practice in, obviously, to build up to that point. So now, Peter, you're a Life Scout, and again, congratulations on that. And you're how old, 14 or 15?
I'm 15.
And so I'm assuming that your ultimate goal is Eagle, and then maybe some Eagle Palms and things like that.
Yeah, probably.
Do you have any ideas for an Eagle project as of yet?
Well, I'm thinking of actually trying to help Indian Creek, because
Indian Creek is
the people who helped me in the past, and yeah, I wanted to give something to thank them for what they've done.
Indian Creek Foundation is a local wraparound provider who sent therapists into our house starting when Peter was 3, and through as late as 6th or 7th grade.
Yeah.
On a variety of areas. And so one other scout from Peter's troop did a project for Indian Creek. And so here, I'll interrupt you.
Yeah, basically what the person is, he collected old toys so that the kids there can actually play with them and build books like that so they can read. Yeah.
So that's really a well worth foundation, sounds like. And again, you need to let us know your progress, and we definitely will again continue to post pictures of you and some of your great successes. So keep up the good work as far as that goes. This is kind of a question to all 3 of you. What kind of advice can you give to the scout leaders when working with scouts on the spectrum?
Well, they all just like to try and have encourage the scouts to be one of the guys, not be with the parents all the time. Like, make sure, be like when you're one of them. Like, you want to be a role model to, like, the younger scouts who are going to join in after you.
When Peter first, I was with Peter on the Tenderfoot camping trip, and Peter, did you sit with the other guys, or did you just sort of walk around?
I started walking around.
I mentioned this in the story. One of his big accomplishments was being comfortable just hanging out with the other guys, as opposed to sitting around the campfire, as opposed to just sort of wandering around the campsite. And I think that's what Peter was saying. You know, even if it's not comfortable, stay with the guys and just let them get comfortable with you, and vice versa.
So the advice to the leaders would be to help encourage the scouts to kind of bond more.
Yes, and yeah. I mean, in Peter's case, there were 2 older scouts who really, I don't know if their parents said something to them or if they just were really good scouts and saw the need, but they went out of their way to include Peter. The first year, which was at Hawk Mountain, if there was a scout needed to carry the flag from the camp down to dinner, they would ask Peter to carry it. I still have that picture on my old cell phone. That made him feel, we keep saying, being one of the guys, it made him feel part of the group. And so, for scouts who may not understand why the boy is acting or why the scout's acting differently, doing things to help him feel like part of the group can really go a long way. At Retsica, where the story took place, twice a day they would have colors in the morning and the evening. And the tradition at that camp is that you take attendance. And so they would ask one boy to say, Troop 303, all present and accounted for. And so a couple times they let Peter do that. Not a big thing, but for him, a really, really big thing. Because he really enjoyed doing it, and it made him feel part of the group. As I've said a couple of times, I think from parents' perspective, being involved really helps. You know what's going to happen. You can get your son ready by saying, are you prepared to talk about this or that? Here's what's going to happen at this meeting, let's talk about how you could go about taking advantage of that. If you're going to work on a merit badge, whatever you want to do. The goal, my goal is, I don't want, and this is, I think, happened in our troop, I don't want the other scouts and leaders to think of Peter as the guy who was wandering around the camp talking to himself. I want them to think of him as the boy who did the 50 miler.
Right.
Or the boy who cooked his own lunch, or in Peter's case, who did his ordeal and did camping merit badge, did the outpost, which is sort of just like your ordeal, except not for OA, where they would put you out in the woods with nothing to camp. And so, Peter was, by that point, was able to do all those things, and I think the other boys know that,
right? And they can respect that, and then that helps build the bonds with the rest of the scouts and the troop.
Yeah. Another thing is, think about what kinds of activities where he can shine. So to be a leader, Peter is historian for the troop. Peter, what have you done as historian?
I've made sure we have the I've made a map. I've marked the places where the campsites we went on to get so far are with sticky thing. I also typed it down on a piece of paper that I printed, and I usually bring a coronavirus so we can show the parents that where have we gone ever since they joined Scouts.
It's developed into a really neat recruiting tool because people can come and see this list of all the places and types of trips that the troop has gone on in the last several years. From my perspective, there are things that I knew Peter would do well at, like the bike rides, and so I've helped plan those. I led a group that went down to our local science museum to do environmental science merit badge. I helped plan the group that went and burned some flags at Betsy Roth's house.
Very cool.
We were invited to do a flag retirement ceremony at Betsy Roth's house on Flag Day.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we literally stopped in there on a trip to walk among the historical sites, and so I kept in touch with them. And that was kind of by chance. I couldn't have planned that, but it was a really, really neat experience. So that's on YouTube, if you ever were to Google it.
Absolutely. Judy, what would your advice be to either parents or scout leaders?
Parents, I would say, I'd probably say at meetings when they first join, and, ask leaders questions, what they do at the meetings, when they go on camping trips or other outings. I would have the scout leaders, parents have the scout leaders make aware of their son's disability and talk to your scout about how they like Boy Scouts. And also find out if the boys are having, problems or what they like or if they're having problems.
One other thing is just to keep an eye out. I mean, as much as we like to say that all scouts live by the scout oath and the scout law, you know,
right.
teenage boys, it's just keep an eye out.
Boys sometimes.
Yeah, keep an eye out for things going on. Well, I forget which year it was at camp. I found that someone had put rocks in Peter's sleeping bag.
Oh.
And so casually, quietly mentioned it to the scoutmaster, who had, I think, had a pretty good sense of who the culprit was.
Right.
And he handled it in a very quiet way. So it wasn't saying, oh, you know, Peter needs special treatment. It was, you know, discipline to deal with the issue. So
no,
I think
absolutely.
The point for parents is just keep your eye open for things. You know, even to this day, I don't think Peter necessarily recognizes when he's, I don't want to say being bullied, but when he's being treated differently because of who he is.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And unfortunately, we hear that a lot. And, you know, it's how, again, the scout leaders and the parents deal with it, you know, like that individually, and if they can take care of the situation like that. I have a question for you, Peter. What advice can you give to other scouts who have either Asperger's or autism or are on the spectrum with just generally? What kind of advice can you give to them?
Well, if they have, like, certain things or example, they need to have things, they need to use strategies, like try to deep breath, squeeze, sensory ones, just to try to make them remain calm.
What kind of things do you do when you feel stressed?
Like, just squeeze, take deep breaths, do sit push-ups.
How about when you were at camp, the first time you had a camping, were you ever, you know, up at Hawk Mountain? Were you stressed out?
I was stressed out a few times, but...
And so what did you do?
I said just relax, take a few deep breaths, and, yeah.
Do you ever, because I was there, I heard this, when they, the first time, you know, who do they ask you to tent with?
They want me to tent with someone, but at first I decided to stay by myself.
They asked him to stay in the tent with me. And my response was, how many other scouts were staying with their dads? And the answer was, of course, none. And so I said, well, then Peter shouldn't either. So what did you do at Hawk Mountain?
I stayed by myself.
I can relate to that. And so what you try to do is find strategies to kind of, you said squeezies. Are those the Dotson squeezies that are taught in a lot of the different schools?
Yeah. Well, I don't really mind who's my tent these days, but it's probably something like patrol. Yeah.
What are some of the sensory issues that you need to work through?
Yeah, try to make sure I'm firing. I'm not sure, really. I just need to...
Strategies.
Just try to, get my back stretch myself, squeeze. Yeah.
Peter likes at home to be squeezed, to get his back scratched. And so we would talk, exactly. And so we would talk with him before trips, before Scout Sunday Mass. We would try, and just as we've been speaking, he walked over to get his back scratcher.
You're doing great, Peter, by the way.
I'm sorry?
I said Peter's doing fantastic, and so I just wanted to congratulate him so far. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. So we would say, when you're with scouts, it's not really, you know, we coached him a lot, that it's not, you know, you don't ask another scout to scratch your back or rub your back. You know, what you would do at home or with your family, you have to figure out a way to get through that. And, you know, he's, whether through breathing or thinking about other things, he has it. Peter, food was another big one, wasn't it?
Yeah. At first, I wanted to, everyone had the same thing as everyone else. Like, everyone ate the same thing. But then, people decided that they should actually have food per patrol. So.
But how about for you? I mean, I remember you said you didn't want to eat stew at the beginning.
At first, they wanted to eat the same thing everyone else wanted. I just didn't want the food. But then I decided to do... didn't want to try any new things, but each time I learned, I just wanted to not happy with me. But, yeah.
And so what you were saying here is that if you wouldn't eat the food that the troop brought or the quartermaster route, brought, then that you would be like make an issue for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was better for you to try eating new foods.
Yeah.
And be part of, with of the guys, than to not eat something that you maybe didn't have before.
That makes a lot of sense.
And yeah, we, again, we would try to
practice. Food issues are a really big issue in camping, and that's been a challenge. I think I've heard many, many times.
Not just since. So I have a very severe food allergy, and I can tell you that I at one camp I was in the storeroom with the head cook, reading the ingredients on the box labels because Retsiga was exceptionally good at taking the health questionnaire and alerting the dining room. Other camps not so great.
Kexler.
So your dad said that you're part of the OA. How did that go for you? The election process, and then the call out, and then the actual ordeal.
Yeah, it was great.
It went pretty smooth, the whole process for you.
Yeah, pretty smooth. Yeah, the hard part is actually not trying to talk all the time.
Peter likes to talk. Yeah. So how did you do it, Peter?
I did fine. So I had to bring quiet. Yeah.
What did you
in
do?
Our camp, right. They said to remain as quiet as possible.
Well, I kind of like to talk it out beforehand. That might be a good idea. Because that might make it easier.
I guess you can't talk on the radio about what happened during your ordeal.
Because it's quiet, right? Oh, yeah.
One of the OA advisors who knew about Peter and what where he how far he's come had spoken to us in advance and said that he could make a lot of accommodations,
mm-hmm.
and we chose that basically not take advantage of that. We knew that they would be there if an issue arose, and I that was one of the trips. As I said, I faded myself out. I did not go on his OA trip, although I was invited to go. It was important that he be perceived as doing the same thing as all the other guys.
Right.
And so I just went to pick him up. I was holding my breath the whole time. This past summer was his first full week summer camp by himself. You couldn't hold me back that day to see how he had done because I was, but both times he's done fine and really didn't need me at all.
In some ways, it's kind of, as a dad, you're like, oh, that's great. But in some ways, you're like, oh, but I still want to be there to help support him. I'm sure there's kind of mixed feelings for you.
Yeah. So and that's exactly true. I'm proud of what he's done and that we've been able, I can, both Judy and I can look back and see how much he's grown from the boy who, from in Cub Scouts, would only stay a couple nights, and that was the most he could do, who now, more than met the camping merit badge requirements and likes to go camping, and basically tells us we're not needed.
well, that's good, because that's a sign that of a true eagle in the making, and also a sign that great things are ahead of you. We're almost out of time here, so I want to just thank everyone, I want to thank you, Stanley. Thank you, Judy. And especially thank you, Peter, for coming on and sharing the story. There's about a couple minutes left. So give each one of you a couple minutes just to any final thoughts?
I'll jump in first and let Peter collect his thoughts. I think, one great thing about being at camp with your son is that you get to see him without YouTube, without television, without the internet, and it was a revelation that made it worth being out there in a tent. We'd always read about the benefits of inclusion, and Peter wasn't fully included at school until just within the last 2 years, but in Scouts, I saw it really happen.
That's awesome. Judy, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I know, Peter's taking on more responsibility, more leadership. Yeah.
We also saw him at camp. He had to be a waiter and clean. Pick up dishes and wash the table.
That's a challenge for any scout, but yeah, especially with someone on the spectrum. So we're going to end up with Peter. We're going to have you close out the show for us. So any final thoughts?
Not really much to say, but I just want to say that I've been having a fun time at Scout so far, and I can't wait to get Eagle Scout and, be the first Truth to Do Scout to ever get Eagle Scout with a disability, a verbal one, that is.
Well, you know what? We are supporting you completely here at Autism and Scouting. And, we want to make sure that once you reach that rank, you send in a photo and we'll make sure we do a feature for you. And then if you want to come back on the radio and experiences, you're always more than welcome to come back. So we want to thank everyone again for coming to Autism and Scouting Radio. Again, tune in on Wednesday, the 20th, when we have a pair of twins. They're both second-class scouts, and they're both on their way to Eagle, just as Peter is definitely destined to be. And we're very proud of Peter and everything that he's done. And I'm sure that if he does the Eagle project for the Indian Creek Foundation, that project is going to be fantastic, and we look forward to photos of it as well. So thank you, everyone, for stopping by, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and have a great day. Bye.